Chance Madison over it. It is Madison! And he's done it! A phenomenal free kick from James Madison!
Welcome to the latest By the Minute Aberdeen podcast. Now, we're joined today by Kevin McNaughton. Kevin is very fondly remembered by those of us who saw him at Pittodrie. Initially breaking through into the first team as a 17-year-old under Ebbie Scovedale, Kevin was definitely one of the brightest talents to come through the youth system in quite some time. His ascent didn't stop there, and an early Scotland call-up seemed like it would be the first of many. Although that, as we'll hear, didn't quite go to plan. We'll hear what it was like behind the scenes under three very different Aberdeen managers, as well as talking about his memorable spell at Cardiff. Without further ado, let's get to our chat. So, Kevin, thank you very much for joining us tonight. Real pleasure to have you on. Just want to go right back to the start. And when you were first playing football, what's your earliest memory? Who, for example, was your childhood hero growing up? Whose poster was on your wall?
I was a bit of a Man U fan when I was younger, so it was Eric Cantona. He was my first sort of hero. I liked him as a character more than anything else on the pitch. Obviously, he's a very good footballer as well. Yeah, he was the probably main one. I remember actually when I was getting, I think it was my Holy Communion or something like that, when I had to actually get a saint's name. And I remember doing it at school, just ended up doing Eric Cantona as one of my saint's names, something like that, just because I loved him so much back then. I remember when I played for my school team as well, had the collar up as well.
Oh, aye. A whole generation of kids would have done that, I'm sure.
Yeah, so he was the main man for me.
So were you a striker playing school football, Kevin, as well?
No, I played centre-half growing up, to be honest with you. Yeah, throughout sort of my early stages, through about the age of 9, all the way up to about 16, really, I played centre-half. Even for Aberdeen youth team, I played centre-half. My first real sort of introduction to full-back was for the first team. All sort of places to get put into a strange position. So that was how it panned out for us.
You often find that, don't you, that sort of young centre-backs will get their first break in the full team at full-back. For you, strangely, you never kind of shifted back. It just seemed as if you were utterly at home there. I mean, obviously, you had that pace that was really well utilised. I mean, your sub-appearance against St Mirren, first thought you came on at half-time.
Yeah.
Was it completely out of blue getting called up to the squad? Or?
Yeah, it was scary, actually. I think the week before we had a friendly. I think I played right back in the friendly. I had an absolute stinker, to be honest with you. It was for the first team. I remember David Priest saying something, just get a couple of paracetamol and go to bed after that one. I don't know what it was. I trained with the first team all week and I was sort of set to just go home at the weekend, and I got told I was in the squad, and that was obviously my first squad. So I was quite surprised by that, and obviously got my mum and dad up for that one. I was just expecting to be, you know, in the squad, and then I found out I was on the bench, which was brilliant. All of a sudden I'm getting thrown on at half time, so it was crazy. But it was one of them things. I didn't have time to think about it, to be honest with you, so I just got stuck in.
No, I mean, you certainly didn't look back either. I mean, that first season, 30-odd appearances, but after the St Mirren game, your actual next game, your first start, was against Bohemians. quite a load to come so early in your career, that one.
Yeah, it was strange. It was just, I mean, I was just buzzing to play, but obviously that one was a bit of a sickness. But we were kind of struggling at that point, I think, if I can remember. I think we lost 1-0 at home, was it?
And then lost 2-1 at home, and then 1 over there.
2-1 at home, yeah, and it was. I mean, we did actually play all right over there. It was never really took our chances, but it was sickener. It was a sickener because we were obviously big favourites to win that game and sort of progress. So yeah, that was a bit of a sickener, that one.
That first season, as I say, you couldn't possibly have been expecting to make 30 starts that season. I mean, that must have been beyond your wildest expectations.
Yeah, definitely. I was playing for the youth team at centre half, like I say, and just kind of my aim for the season was just to do well for the youth team, try to push for more games in the reserves. I didn't really play a lot of games in reserves the season before. I think I played a handful, but my aim was just to push into the reserves and just see how it went. But I never had a lot of time to think about it. I was just in there playing. I was playing left back, which, to be honest with you, over my career, I've enjoyed playing. I've probably played some of my best football at left back. It was weird. Obviously, being right footed, it suited me for one reason or another. Everything lined up, and thankfully, I took my chance, and everything went well for us that season.
Yeah, I mean, there was three full seasons under the Dons had under Hebby Skovdal. I mean, the first season was a bit of a struggle in the league, but made the cup finals. Then that second season, a lot of young players like yourself were getting their debuts, and there was some progress. And then the third season, things seemed to really properly click. I mean, as I say, it was quite a young side. How important were guys like Peter Keir, for example, Derek White, Robbie Winters, two guys like yourself?
Oh, they were brilliant. Derek White especially. I mean, he was a big character in the dressing room. I think anybody who was in the Aberdeen dressing room said he was a big influence on everybody, to be honest with you. He's probably life and soul of the dressing room. And he'd helped me a lot, actually, through my younger career. So, you know, somebody who I sometimes keep in touch with here and there over the years, he probably helped me settle into the dressing room probably more than anybody. But, like, having guys like Robbie as well, who was experienced, and Peter was probably somebody who just kept himself.
Yeah. Well, he was a goalkeeper. They're weird, aren't they? So.
Yeah, I've not met many goalies. But actually, David Preece is actually probably one of the most sensible goalkeepers I think I've ever met, to be honest with you.
Well, I'm just going to take his name in vain, actually, because we've had David on the show before, and he said that throughout his career, that dressing room at Aberdeen at that time was the best that he's ever been in. Now, I know, obviously, for you, it was your first senior dressing room, but now you've got a 14-year career to look back on. How does it compare?
Oh, it's up there. It was brilliant. Because I think the fact that there were so many young players coming through together, you know, with that sort of bond from youth team, and then we just took that into the main first team. And to be fair, we gelled well with the first, the older lads as well. Like Saprissi and boys like that, you know, there was a lot of characters in that dressing room. Yeah, to be honest, it was a bit of a schoolboy, you know, just like being back at school, really, that dressing room. There was always some sort of hijinks going on in that dressing room. It was good. I remember that dressing room brilliant. And I still keep in touch with Daz Mackey. And obviously now we're Ryan Essen up here at Inverness, who I kept in touch with over the years as well. So there's still a lot of boys that I can keep in touch with.
Well, that's good to hear. And what about the manager? Because he came in for a lot of criticism, and some of it was deserved after that first year. He seemed a bit sort of lost in the headlights of Scottish football, but each year he was at the club, the full season anyway, the league finishes improved, and he seemed to have a plan, not just for the first team, but for the whole club to be playing the same way and for players to be brought through. What was he actually like to work under, Kev?
I think some took to him, some didn't. It was hard, really, because he came in with a lot of new things that guys, especially experienced boys, they weren't used to, be honest with you. We were using these free weights, things that probably a lot of Scottish clubs hadn't really introduced at this stage. And, you know, I think that what I found was more the experienced boys didn't take to him as much as young lads, because I think it was all new and fresh for the young lads, but coming in and just regimenting the 4-3-3 system, that was a few boys didn't take to that too well. They struggled with the system we were trying to play, and when we got a settled team together, it seemed to gel a lot better, and you know, boys just started buying into it a bit more, especially with the younger players. I mean, we were just happy to be in the first team, and so we weren't really complaining. But I know for a fact that, you know, some of the experienced boys didn't take to Evie too well. And to be fair, most of them moved on pretty sharp when being in there.
What was he actually like to work under? Was he, because he had that public persona, which was obviously pretty carefree and pretty casual. But I mean, was he a disciplinarian, or was he, you know, someone who really came down hard on you? Or what was he actually like?
He was quite relaxed. it's just some of his quotes he came up with. He used to come out with them in team meetings as well. I think at one stage the lads had a table, it was just an old table, it was in the changing room, and somebody wrote down one of his quotes on the table, and then from there on I think it was about 20 quotes. By the end of the season it was about 20 quotes. Oh, the things he said in the team meetings, the boys just cracked up. Had loads of them.
That table could be worth something now.
I think he tried to say Trump card one time, and he came out with Trumpus. He just came out with Trumpus. Trumpus card, and the boys were like, what is he going on about here? A lot of things were was sort of lost in translation, but he was a laid-back guy. I mean, his training was actually really tough. I enjoyed it. I got really fit through working with Webb. It disciplined me into actually working harder, and that helped my career, to be honest with you. I know a lot of guys didn't enjoy the training regime we had under Webb. It was quite difficult.
Mm-hmm.
It was just new to a lot of players. Some of the stuff we did, we had the goals facing the wrong way at one point in training. Things like that, you know.
Was that when he got mattresses put...
The mattresses, yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah.
We had a lot of like free weights at that time, you know. I didn't even know there was guys doing like squats and things like that. And back then, this stuff wasn't introduced. It was just all brand new. Obviously, the Scandinavian clubs had been using for years. So in that way, he was a bit of a pioneer in that stage for some of the Scottish lads in terms of some of the stuff he introduced. But like I say, some took it, some didn't, and in the end, it just didn't work out for him in the end. And I think it's persistent to keep playing with a 4-3-3. I think that maybe set him back a bit, because he was almost stubborn in the way he just stuck with it.
Mm-hmm.
Probably the team we had at the time probably suited more of a 4-4-2, and a couple of more attack-minded wingers at the time, we didn't probably utilise them boys.
Your second full season, which was Evie's last full season, 2002-03, the Dons finished fourth, 9 home wins in a row and all that. I know you actually missed a Celtic game, but it must really have felt that you were making progress and that there was a bright future ahead.
Yeah, I remember it well. I mean, we felt invincible at home, to be honest with you. It was weird. It was just one of them things. We turned up on a Saturday and the place was jumping. It was a great atmosphere. I remember it well. Probably... the first time I sort of seen Pittsburgh jumping like that, apart from maybe a couple of the European games later on, we were playing some really good stuff as well. It wasn't like we were just nicking wins, we were actually playing some decent football as well. It was a good time to be around Aberdeen. There was a bit of a buzz about it.
That side that year, that helped you get noticed at international level, and it was a very quick promotion up to getting included in that first international squad. And I know you've spoken about this before, Kevin, and it's maybe still a touchy subject, but Bertie Vogts, obviously, he called you up for the friendly against France, and I think you were in line to play, but then he decided that at a training session you had looked too nervous. Can you tell us a little bit more about what actually went on?
Everything had gone through the press, really. I think he'd said I was going to play through the press, which I didn't know about. I just remember having a training session, and I had a bit of a stinker. I remember actually having a bit of a stinker. The following day, did okay in the training session. And I think the day before the game, I think somebody phoned us saying, oh, he said you're not playing or something like that. I think it was one of my family members, either mum or my dad, phoned us and said, oh, you're not playing. He said something in the media about you being nervous or something like that. And that was the first time I heard about it. I heard about it in the... from somebody at home, and I didn't really know what to say, because at the time I was just buzzing to be there. I was obviously disappointed to hear it through actually somebody else other than him, and I didn't feel like it was any problems or that. So anyway, we just went to the game. Still never heard anything about anything, so it wasn't until I come back that I'd seen the sort of backlash of all when all the lads started saying, what the hell is going on, what's been going on in training and stuff. I didn't think too much of it, but I was just, at the time, it was kind of a storm in a teacup, as far as I was concerned. The club weren't happy with it. They felt it had sort of been treated badly. And I said, look, I've had a bad training session. If he doesn't want players on the back of that, it's fine. But I mean, I wouldn't feel nervous or anything. I've had plenty of bad training sessions. thousands of bad training sessions, to be honest with you. I just put it down to one of them days. So it actually made me a bit paranoid about my body language and things like that.
Well,
and that actually got in my head a little bit for a spell. But looking back on it didn't really bother it. At the time, all that was bothering me was answering. I kept sort of answering the same questions. Every time I got picked for a Scotland squad, I went back to that time, and then I was just like, to be honest with you, it doesn't bother us. It's done. It's in the past. I just want to try and go on with it. So,
but did he never actually sit down and speak to you about it?
Never once.
It's not brilliant management, is it?
And then I played the next game against Nigeria, and then everything was fine after that again. And I'm playing against Denmark, I was playing centre midfield, and I didn't feel like I played that bad. Again, came off again after, got pulled off at half time, never said anything to us. And then I spoke to the press after the game, and I think it was Charlie Allen at the time spoke to me and said, "Oh," he said, you looked a bit nervous again. I was just in shock after that. I was like, "Why? I don't know. I don't know what he's seen, but he's seen something in us that he didn't like." So, but I don't know why he kept playing us if he didn't. You know, I kept seeing these things. So, it's one of them things.
Well, let's focus on the positives, Kev. Because your first cap actually came at Pittodrie, and that must have been that must have been some moment. Even though we actually lost at home to Nigeria, it must have been fantastic to actually finally make that debut.
That was brilliant. Being at Pittodrie as well, actually, I made it probably a little bit more special. Yeah, it was a bit of a whirlwind again. Just kind of don't remember too much about the game. I was again playing in midfield. I was playing fullback for Aberdeen, but playing midfield for Scotland for some reason or other. I don't really understand that. Looking back at it now, it's kind of weird. One of the career highlights, really. Looking back on it,
do you think that versatility? Obviously, saying you played midfield. And you played midfield on a few occasions for Aberdeen under Jimmy Colwood as things moved on. But obviously, you played left-back, right-back. As you say, you started off at centre-half. Do you think that versatility maybe counted against you a bit at international level? Because when you moved to Cardiff, you were called up to quite a few squads, but didn't make that too many appearances.
No, not at all. It was, did a little bit. I think under Jimmy, I actually said to him at one stage, could you just play as a position, you know, try and stick to it for a while because I think it's infecting my form a bit. But it was one of them. We kept getting boys injured and I ended up moving around a bit. Mm-hmm. And whenever we actually, I think actually when we ever played Rangers or Celtic, I used to have to, or if there was somebody who was a real danger man, I used to be told I had to man mark him. So I had to be people's shadows in games as well, and things like that. Probably things you don't see, you get asked to do, and it was one of them. I was young and I just wanted to play, so I just got on with it. I was quite happy enough. Yeah, but I think it did affected my form. International level, it was difficult. I wasn't playing regulars in midfield for Aberdeen, so being asked to sort of step up to play international level was a bit of a tall order, to be honest. We struggled with it. But did as well as I could.
I'm interested by what you say there about chopping and changing position and, you know, once going to the boss and saying, you know, can you just play me one position? Because currently, obviously, we've got at Aberdeen Graham Shinney, who is switching between fullback and centre midfield with the club and can't get a look in Scotland. You would have thought that versatility would have gone down well in a national team squad, but do you think, I mean, obviously every player is different, but do you think Graham will be getting a similar kind of frustration? Do players need that comfort of playing in the same position week in, week out?
I just found it hard to adapt quickly. You know, it took me about 45 minutes to get my head into the game, of playing in a different position. Mm-hmm. By then, you know, there's half the game gone. I mean, so you could be struggling to just get to grasp of the game. And then, you know, the following week I was maybe playing somewhere else. You know, so it sometimes clicks for you, but sometimes I found it difficult. You know, I know there'll be players out there who just shift, chop and change. You know, I look at sort of like James Milner at the moment, he's sort of been slotted in a left back. He actually looks pretty decent left back. He's slotted into it pretty well, but it can be frustrating. But at the time, I always think it was, I'm playing and, you know, I'm just having to do it for the team because as boys, well, at the time we had quite a few injuries, so it was a case of, you know, we had no left midfielder, so I ended up playing there one time. And I think I played, in one game actually, I think I played three positions, which was,
that sounds familiar.
Yeah, that was weird. So I think in one season, the only position I had two positions I hadn't played in, it was in goal and centre forward. Looking back on it, I think that was under Jimmy, because he used to, at the start of the season with Jimmy, he would write down all the players' names on a board and what positions he felt they could cover and play. Because he did, I mean, he was the tinker man back then. He loved to chop and change. So he did like boys to be versatile. So, you know, I was probably his ideal pupil.
Yes.
He's quite happy to chop and change.
No, we'll come on to Jimmy Calderwood in a bit more detail on it in a minute, Kev. But immediately after Ebbie Scovedale left, Steve Patterson came in. Only there for a short while, 18 months. But obviously he was a kind of next big thing in Scottish football at the time, having done well at Inverness. A bit of a culture shock, I would imagine, going from Ebbie Scovedale to Steve Patterson.
Yeah, just totally different.
More old school, or...?
To be honest with you, Steve never really had a hands-on approach to training or anything like that. I mean, he was in and out. Dunk did a lot of the work.
Yeah.
Osher Williams did a lot of the work. I mean, sometimes didn't see him on the training pitch at times. And it was just one of them things. He was pretty old school. It didn't suit me. I was somebody who like, enjoyed working hard and probably the main asset of my game was probably my ability to get up and down the pitch. So it was, in terms of fitness and things like that, I just struggled on them, really. He just stuck to his system. He was one of these guys who came in and just said, this is the system I'm going to play. So everybody had to adapt to him as opposed to looking at your... I'm probably one of these guys who thinks you look at your team and think, what's the best system to play? Where he was probably the other way around. And we played the 3-5-2, and I struggled a bit in it, to be honest with you. I think he played me out on the wide right of five, and I struggled with it a bit. It was a bit alien to me, but I'd have probably been a bit more settled if I'd have played centre half, but it never happens for me under Steve, for one thing or another. Just never really happened for us. I found myself in an out team. So when he left, I was probably happier than when Jimmy actually come in.
Sort of general question here, and not just picking on Steve, but when a team's going through a poor run of form, or when a team's at the wrong end of the table, I mean, how does that affect working relationships within that dressing room? I mean, how does that affect the mood? How does it affect everything? Because, you know, presumably it's not as much fun when you go out to a gig or go out for a meal or things. You know, it just impacts your whole life in a way that other people really, at their jobs, can't really imagine, I presume.
No, it's brutal. It's absolutely brutal. I remember going through the spell when it was like, it affects your daily life. I remember lose at the weekend, you know, it was the end of the world until the following week to try and put it right. You'd have, under Jimmy, I felt a bit different. He was somebody who, if you lost it on a Saturday, the mood in the camp never changed for the whole week, which I think is important. You have to focus on the next game, but through that spell, it just seemed to fester throughout the week to the next game. They weren't really a good environment, to be honest with you. I didn't enjoy that spell. Like you say, it was a bit old school when it was... I'm of a school of thought that once the game's gone, it's gone. You look at the things you did wrong, you look at the things you did right, trying to put it into place on the training pitch. But we were all a bit of doom and gloom, and it was... Yeah, they did run right through the squad. And it's one of them things, is once it starts festering away, it's difficult to shake off.
Well, Jimmy Calderwood took over in 2004, summer 2004, and there weren't that many personnel changes between Steve Patterson's squad and Jimmy's squad that first season. So, I mean, was it just that approach on the training pitch, the kind of, you know, getting back to basics almost, and the sort of new broom approach that Jimmy Calderwood brought in, or was there anything else that you think made a key difference between the two regimes?
The two of them just brought an enthusiasm back into the squad that was missing, really. I think, you know, if you met both the Jimmys, you know, some characters, they're really lively around the place. And they just lifted the place a bit. I felt it did. For me personally, it was brilliant. Cause, you know, it just got me back playing, enjoying my football again.
Yeah.
You know, and I loved the training. I loved the training under Jimmy. It was all, you know, it was all football related, and it was all hard. It was all hard work, and it was always football related. So I really enjoyed it. In many ways, the thing that sort of let him down was he did tinker quite a lot, and I think that might be affected things in terms of our form. You know, that was him. That was sort of from that Dutch background, I think. He brought a lot of stuff that he'd learned across there and tried to put into practice over here.
Did he work in Holland, Kevin? He never mentioned it. Yeah, sorry. I'm gonna quote David Priest again, actually, here. He said that, when we spoke to him about this, he said that Jimmy brought back certain standards that maybe had been lacking under the past couple of managers. Is that a fair assessment as well, or...?
Yeah, I think so. I remember him stopping the training sessions quite a lot. If things weren't going to plan, you know, you could switch. You could switch up really quickly if you felt the standard wasn't good enough, which is, you know, spot on, really. There's days when boys are not at it, and as opposed to just letting the thing go, he would always stop it, and they would expect standards. And in terms of fines and things like that, he was very... on top of things like that. He expected the boys, you know, even we went to a few away games, he used to always be suited and booted, and he expected us to turn up there. And we're a bit more of a professional outfit, really. That was the main thing he brought into place.
Again, if you look at that team, there's a lot of the guys that Ebbe Skovdal blooded a few years before that are still there, still the mainstays of that team. I mean, surely Jimmy's obviously reaping the benefits of that as well. Because there's you, there's Phil Maguire, there's Russell Anderson, there's quite a few of them, Mackey, obviously. And...
For me, definitely, he just brought an enthusiasm back in the place, which maybe for young players, especially boys who've come through together, just needed again, really. Just that bit of zest back in the place. I think he did look after the young players, to be fair to him. The only thing I would say to him is if you weren't playing and you weren't one of these guys who you sort of relied on all the time, it was difficult.
Right.
You know, for the fringe players, I think, because he was pretty focused on the 11, which maybe was a psychological thing as well. He was trying to push the other guys on a bit to get into the squad and be a part of the squad. So for the likes of myself, it was good. It was a good environment for me, and probably start to get my sort of career back on track, really, because it dipped a bit under Steve, and I hadn't really been playing well, to be honest with you. But sort of got back to playing at a decent standard again.
Well, certainly Jimmy was good for your career, good for a few other people's careers as well. I'm thinking particularly of Russell Anderson, who really emerged as a captain and a leader in that period as well. You had Scott Severin too, obviously, who was a big figure. He'd originally, I guess, been a competitor for the right back spot with you, but again, he'd made that transition back to centre-half and really began to emerge as a leader. We're going to be sitting down with Russell in a couple of weeks' time. I mean, is there anything that you could say about what he brought to that team?
No, he was probably head and shoulders above everybody. His potential as a footballer, as a young lad, you know, if he never had them injuries he did. I mean, I think Russell had been playing Premiership football. And he'd have been playing it for plenty of years, that's for sure. Because he had everything as a centre-half. He's strong, pace, read the game well, good, attacks the ball well, everything. You know, that was the only thing that set him back was his injuries, and, you know, that can happen. But Russell was, you know, like I say, he was head and shoulders above everybody, I felt, especially that thing. You know, you speak to anybody in the squad, who'd say it as well. He was the player that you felt, you know, was always going to push on and do well for himself.
Obviously, Russell did move to the Premiership. It was, you know, deeply unfortunate the way things panned out. But you yourself got your move down to England at the end of 2006. And was it something you'd been eyeing for quite a while?
No, it was strange how it came up. It was, for some reason or other, I've always signed my contracts pretty early at Aberdeen and just got them out of the way and just signed them in. And for some reason, this one had just ran into Christmas time. I hadn't really thought about moving, and then just got offered a deal. I can't remember what it was, but I just, at the time, I said, oh, we'll go back and renegotiate. And Dabney said, no, I just take it or leave it. And the time, it just kind of, I just thought, well, I don't know, I'm at a bit of a crossroads here. I'll either sign it and I'll probably end up finishing my career at Aberdeen. It was one of them. I almost felt like one of them sort of crossroads in my career where, you know, if I did sign it, then I'd have probably try and stayed at Aberdeen for this, like I say, for the to try and stay there as long as I could, really. Or, you know, 23-year-old, maybe have a go at it down south or elsewhere and see how it pans out. To be honest with you, I had quite a lot of teams offered me a deal. It was weird how everything sort of transpired from Dutch teams to quite a few teams down south, Norwegian teams and things like that, you know, things.
Was that ever a temptation to go to Norway, to go to Holland? Because obviously Robbie Winters had gone to Norway.
Yeah, the Dutch one was appealing, to be honest with you. That was the one that I did think about. In the end, just, you know, things like the language and things you've got to take into account. So I've ended up, I don't know, I just flew down to Cardiff, spoke with them, got a good feel for the place. And they showed me the plans for the new stadium and things like that, the new training ground and what they had in place and what they were sort of trying to do to the club. And it just sounded brilliant. I just thought, you know, this sounds a bit me, to be honest with you. So from there, I just ended up signing and, you know, happened pretty quick. Was down there doing pre-season and, you know, it was just, I don't know, it was just sort of settled into the club pretty quickly.
And over time, there was quite a few Scots followed you down there as well. You had Stephen Thompson, you had Gavin Ray, and a couple of others as well. There was quite a tartan contingent at one point down at Cardiff.
Yeah.
Did that make it easier? Or?
Yeah, that made it easier for me, sort of transition. I mean, I had Stephen Thompson when I first went down. And obviously a few other Scottish lads come down over the years. But, yeah, the manager was strange. He just felt like he could get a bargain up in Scotland. He used to actually ask me about players. And yeah, he was one of the sort of the English managers that felt he could nick somebody from up north and, you know, just try and make them adapt to the Championship, really, and try and get the best out of them. He always said to me, there's always get a bargain up in Scotland, as he used to say. I said, well, you got me for nothing, so that was the biggest bargain you've ever had.
Indeed, but, indeed.
Dave was all right. He was working on a sort of threadbare budget. He was always having to sell his best player to sort of finance the following season. So Dave did a good job, really, under the sort of circumstances.
Yeah, Dave Jones, sorry, was the Cardiff manager then. Before we talk about the big season at Cardiff where you won the Championship and moved up to the Premier League, I mean, there were cup finals and things as part of the Cardiff story before then as well, wasn't there?
Yeah, it was unbelievable, really. That FA Cup run especially was just, we just kind of had a good draw, really. I think we played Wolves, was a tough game. I think, I don't know if we played a couple of Championship teams, but the only Premiership team we played before the final was Middlesbrough, who we beat away from home. Then we beat Barnsley in the semi-final, and obviously playing Portsmouth in the final. It felt a bit surreal, actually, walking out for the FA Cup against Portsmouth. That was, like I say, one of the career highlights, really. It was a bit sickening then, because it felt like it was there for us, but we never really took it.
Yes, 2008 FA Cup final, Cardiff 0, Portsmouth 1. But a couple of years later, if that was a career highlight, I think the most iconic moment and image of your career was definitely the one from on the pitch as Cardiff celebrated promotion to the Premier League. And there's a shot of you being carried on someone's shoulder and celebrating wildly with the crowd on the pitch at the end. It's a fantastic photo. It might not be an Aberdeen one, but it's a brilliant one. And I'm sure it's one that's got a place in your heart as well.
Yeah, it was probably the culmination of a lot of things. Just first, obviously, going down there was to get in the Premier League with Cardiff. That was the main objective. And then obviously we had a couple of cup finals, which were a bit of an added bonus. But we fell short on so many occasions. It was just, I felt like it was never going to happen, especially in my time. It didn't feel like I was going to be a part of it. I knew it was going to happen, but just chuffed to be on the pitch when it did. And obviously got a chance to celebrate in amongst the fans, which is... Looking back on that night, it was right up there with sort of special moments in my career, and just look fawned over them sort of 2 or 3 weeks, finished the end of the season, really, was unbelievable. Look back on some of the celebrations and the bus through the town centre, everything like that that goes along with it was just, it just seemed like a never-ending sort of party, to be honest with you.
If that was the upside, the downside surely must have been the fact that you weren't really given that much of an opportunity in the Premiership.
Yeah, Doc, it was... They signed 2 full-backs. I signed another year. My contract had run out at the end of that season, so I signed on another year with, I think, as mainly as backup. I sort of knew it was his backup, but I just felt like I had to give it a shot anyway. And to be honest with you, I got included in the 25-man squad. I'd worked so hard over that summer just to give myself a chance, because I knew I wasn't really in the pecking order. I certainly wasn't first, so I absolutely beasted myself that summer, worked so hard, come back to pre-season, and it was actually, it felt brilliant, it was flying really. I knew within a few weeks of being back that, you know, I don't think I was going to be involved. You could tell when things are shaping up, and so there was one of them things, just never really happened at the beginning of the season. Then I went on loan to Bolton, just purely because I wanted to play, really. I was desperate to play, so I went up there for 3 months. And it was just strange how I actually ended up playing for the first team. I came back from a 3-month loan at Bolton, came back to Cardiff where Malky was still in charge. Sat outside his office waiting to ask him if he'd go back on loan again. And the reception said, no, they're in a meeting just now, you probably better just leave it. So I drove home and stuck Sky Sports News on, and it said Malky had been sacked by Cardiff. Obviously, that's what the meeting was about. It was strange, so I just went back into training the next day, and we had a game against, I think it was Arsenal away. And I went down the train. They hadn't brought anything, I think it was a Friday before a game, hadn't brought anything, any gear to travel, because I hadn't been in any of the squads. And I was out training with the first team, and the right back got injured in training, and I didn't realise the other full-back had been struggling all week as well, so he was out of the squad as well, so I got the nod to bring my tracksuit, to go drive home and get my tracksuit to take to the Arsenal game for Friday. So I ended up going home and grabbing all my gear, jumped on the bus, and ended up starting against Arsenal at the Emirates for my first Premiership appearance. So it was just weird. It was just one of the things. It was written in the stars. I was going to play at least one game. So that was brilliant.
It was only a small taste, but I tell you, I mean, this is a list of the games that I've got that you played. You played at Highbury, and then the next time out, you played at Man City. Yeah. And then you played at Old Trafford, which must have been pretty special for you, if you grew up as a bit of a Man United fanboy.
Yeah, it was.
And then you played the Welsh Derby against Swansea, albeit you lost all 4 games, which must have been bittersweet. But, yeah. I mean, in terms of the size of the games, they couldn't really have been much bigger.
It was strange. It just came in at the run where it was probably the hardest fixture run the whole season. So, yeah, it was surreal, really. It was brilliant. It was great to be involved in them games. The Arsenal game, we got beat 2-0, but we hung on for about 87 minutes. We got battered that game, really, to be honest with you. But it was 87 minutes before they scored the first goal. Yeah, Man City game. Again, we were in the game for the spells, but then I think they brought on Aguero, and towards the end of the game, and he just changed the game. Like Man United game, again, we weren't far off them in that game, but again, got beat. Yeah, I think we played Hull at home after that run of games, and then I got dropped. I was just like, come on, it was a break here. I just played them 4 games. Like, can I just play at home? Just against a fellow team that were struggling as well. Not any chance. Yeah, so it didn't quite pan out. But nah, it was brilliant. Those games are brilliant. Some experience, to be honest with you. Things like that. I mean, I went down to Cardiff to play in the Premier League, to try and sort of progress, and I mean it was good anyway, just to have actually got there, even though it was, like you said, it was quite short-lived.
You did actually sign for another season at Cardiff, 2014-15, but spent most of that on loan to Bolton as well. Clearly, even if it was a disappointing end to time at Cardiff, you must have made a hell of an impression, because, and this doesn't happen very often, But you've got a testimonial coming up next March, don't you, from Cardiff? And you haven't been at the club for 15 months. As I say, I can't think of too many occasions where that has happened. So you must have made a big impression.
I think they took to me purely just the way I played. It was sort of all or nothing. It was just throw my body in line, things like that. I must have got concussed about three times and got my head caught open a million times. The guy said to me, the only player that's been concussed twice in a game for us, they're all mental down there, to be honest with you, so they love things like that. So they took to me quite well. It just seemed like the perfect fit for me down there. Enjoyed it, worked hard, which the fans appreciate. They always had a bit of a stink in one game. I think somebody came up to me in the car park after the game and just said, I will always love you down here, Kev, just purely because the way you go about things and how hard you work, so get your head up sort of thing. And that was quite nice. It was just an old guy, to be honest with you. He said he'd sort of been watching City for years and said, he said to me it was his favourite player over them years. So I remember things like that.
No, yeah, absolutely.
That was good.
Any more word in the testimonial? Do you know who will be taking part yet? Or
I'm hoping to just go down and actually meet with them in the next week or two to with a few of the guys behind the scenes at Cardiff and speak to them about it and try and get everything up and running. Because I've got obviously a bit of time with my injury. So I'll be sorting that out in the next week or two. Hopefully I'll have some more things confirmed on that in the next week or two.
So a season on loan at Wigan, which last season just completed with Wigan, Mr. Caldwell in League One, which went well for Wigan, but not quite so well for yourself again.
I've just had a bit of a torrid injury the last probably 2.5 years. I started the season playing in and out team, and then the middle of a game and against Gillingham, just felt something in my knee, just below my knee. I didn't think anything of it, really, to be honest. We just kept playing with it, going in. Just felt something again about 10 minutes later. And I just waved to come off. I just said, I think I've done something, but I don't feel bad. So I better just be safe than sorry, and just came off the pitch. Just went for scans, said it tore tendon off the bone and one of my hamstrings that attached just below my knee. So, yeah, I was in a bit of a shock with that, to be honest with you. I didn't think it was that bad. I ended up out for about 3-4 months, so I thought. So I got myself fit again towards the end of the season, and to be honest with you, never really got looking, purely the fact that the team was sort of undefeated in about 20 games. He didn't really want to change anything, to be honest with you, which I don't blame him for, to be honest with you. But yeah, it was a good experience. It was good being part of another sort of winning team that they got promoted again, even though I never really played much part in it. It was nice to be around the squad. The boys, a good bunch of lads. And, I try to just pass on little experiences I had to boys and the younger boys in the squad, and so I just speak to them as much as I could. That's all I could really influence, really. So.
And then this season, I moved back to Scotland, and you completed your pre-season at Cali, played the pre-season games. And then, of course, injury strikes you again at the start of this season. So you're currently going through rehab. The cast has just come off, so your progress is being made, though, Kevin, yeah?
Yeah, definitely. The last sort of 2 or 3 weeks has been good. I've got off the crutches now, and I'm walking about now. It's one of these things. It's actually quite a lengthy process, so it's pretty slow going. I'm just working hard in the gym at the moment, just trying to keep myself ticking over, and hopefully pushing things on to try and really be fit before the end of the season, really. That's the main objective.
You might be well placed to answer this. This is the question we were asked last week with regards to James Maddison, who's on loan at Pittodrie from Norwich. The comparison between the SPFL and the Championship, or say League One in England, what are the key differences? I mean, we know obviously there's more money in the game down south, but it's two pretty different styles, isn't there? It strikes me that it's a bit more physical down south, would that be fair to say, or?
Yeah, I think so. Pretty relentless, that Championship, to be honest with you, in terms of you have to be physically fit for one thing. That's sort of a must, really.
A lot of games as well.
A lot of games you've got to play. Your recovery is unbelievable. At one point, you weren't really training a lot. It was a case of just playing games, recover. At the end of the day, you're playing about 46 games. we had some good cup runs.
Yeah.
Put the add them all up, you know, you're playing 50 odd games a season and it takes its toll on you after a while. So I think you look at the Championship, you look at some of the size and physiques of the guys every year, it just seems like if people are getting bigger, to be honest with you. That's the main thing. I think in Scotland, try to play a bit more football. I've noticed anyway, try to play a bit more. Pace of the game's still just as quick, I think. But physicality and things like that, probably Championship is a bit more rough and ready, really.
So, finally, Kev, are you a good watcher of football, given that obviously you spent a long time last season injured and, again, you're injured this season? I mean, do you have plans on the coaching side, or...?
I did start my B licence down south, but never got a chance to finish it, really. So, because I moved up, the plan was to just finish the second part of that down south. I went into it just seeing how if I enjoyed it or what, if I felt it was doing well at it. I went to see a few of the young lads' games up here under Dunk Shearer. I went to a few away games with him and just sort of shadowed Dunk.
Mm-hmm.
And tried to just give a little bit of input in with the young lads as well, so... It's one of the things, I might just try and do that over the next few weeks and see how I got on with that. And if I felt I was doing well enough at it or I felt like I contribute, then I would try and get into it a bit more. So I'll see what happens over the next year or two and see if I can maybe pick up a few more of the badges and try and progress through that and then see if anything crops up. But it's something I would probably enjoy doing. So yeah, that might be something I'll get into in the future.
The other thing that, apart from watching football, that you enjoy in your spare time is painting, which is not a traditional kind of hobby for a footballer, is it?
No.
You put some of your stuff up in your social media accounts, and it's really good stuff.
Yeah, it's just stuck. It's just a bit of a hobby, really. Just something I got into when I was younger, but it wasn't really up until recently I started getting into it again. It's just a hobby at the moment, so... Might progress it on, trying. I might need to start selling stuff. I'm out of contract at the end of the season, so might be looking for a new job in terms. So might have to try that. I enjoy it. It's something that, like I say, I never really got back into until recently. So I'll see how I get on with it.
Gavin, thank you very much for your time. Very honest chat. Really enjoyed it. Thanks a lot.
No worries. Thanks for having us.
Thanks again to Kevin for his time there. Real pleasure to chat to him. Total treat for us. That's our show this week. We'll be back with a more straightforward format next week, looking back on the game against Ross County and looking ahead to the League Cup semi-final against Morton. But thank you for listening. Good night.